I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro. I need the noises of destruction.
This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, Breaking Glass, on the subject of net neutrality, merger mania, and French bread. A rising dough sinks all ships. The FCC is set to overrule the principle of net neutrality, where all speed on the internet is roughly equal, and instead allow internet carriers and providers to themselves regulate speeds and charge more for what is now an internet right. This provision is happening at the same time as the Justice Department debates allowing a merger between one of, if not the, main content providers, Time Warner, and one of the major broadband companies providing access to the American home, AT&T. The Trump Justice Department is so far blocking the merger, but this may amount to only a minor roadblock, with Time Warner being forced to divest CNN as a penalty for that company's attacks on Trump, since to attack him is a ratings booster. Though in that logic, CNN should also be rewarded for their more than tacit support of his candidacy in the campaign when that was the ratings booster. At any rate, overthrowing net neutrality and a new wave of media mergers are related. If the FCC ruling passes, content providers will seek alliances with internet providers so that their own services are not overpriced by this new unregulated freedom to slow speeds and then charge for what is now the internet standard. This is a massive merger, since AT&T already owns DirecTV, which reaches over one-third of American homes. The ruling will most likely further other mergers of this kind with, in the serial TV arena, Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu, then needing to find internet providers to team with. These providers then may also exert direct or indirect pressure on their content, and which will most likely then result in increased monthly charges, as well as a narrowing and stabilizing of the field to its current heavy hitter participants, so that television watching on the internet could move closer to the high prices of cable, which drove viewers to these content providers in the first place. What will the internet look like if this ruling goes through? The New York Times claims it will look more like a mall and less like a community forum. Though perhaps the more accurate assessment is that the internet already looks like a mall, and with this ruling, the last traces of the old idea of the internet as a community forum will be erased. It's possible to effectively block content by simply slowing down access to it, since a Microsoft study shows that the average internet user's attention span is 8 seconds between clicks. Longer than that, and the content will often be abandoned, not to mention that the practice of training the short attention span means users are being conditioned to pay more not to have their attention interrupted. The overthrow of an internet open to all is being rationalized in the usual neoliberal way by claiming regulation is bad and evil, though the government is not really regulating, it's simply keeping an open internet, and it may be much more involved in regulation under the new rules, which pit everyone against everyone else. Net neutrality, the design of the internet since its inception, is now being branded government micromanaging of your personal freedom. The Republican head of the FCC, promoting the end of net neutrality, Ajit Pai, says that competition, which is claimed as the only real way to lower prices, is being stifled by the government's heavy hand. Of course, this let a thousand flowers bloom is somewhat tempered by the fact that Pai himself worked at Verizon, one of not the thousand, but the two or three flowers, along with Comcast, Charter, and AT&T, which will assuredly bloom in this new climate. What I'd like to point out is that these arguments were rehearsed 3 centuries ago in the 18th century France of Louis XV and are detailed in a book by Stephen L. Kaplan called Raisonner sur le blé, that is, Let's Think About Wheat. The title comes from Voltaire, who said that while it is nice to discuss and discourse about poetry, tragedy, comedy, operas, novels, morality, and theological disputes, it is in the end necessary to think about wheat, the life-giving staple of the majority of people in Louis's time who lived on French bread. The book details how many of the Enlightenment thinkers, the physiocrats, who in the 1740s and 50s turned toward economics, claimed that liberty was the prime value in the society, and for them, liberty was tied to property. They said the hidden hand of the free market, which encouraged unbridled competition and which was opposed to the heavy hand of the government, would triumph in all areas. The liberty of property owners to engage in free market competition was a natural law that was above the law of the state, and consequently the king and the state should get out of the business of acting as a safety net to keep people from starving and should instead become a king entrepreneur or player in promoting the free market, which would lead to lower prices through competition and increased wealth and abundance for all. France, instead of keeping wheat at home, would export its wheat, establishing its global market dominance, which at that point was focused on Spain and the Netherlands, and which would add to the prosperity of the entire country. Growth then supplants security, as there is then so much abundance for all that there's no need of the state providing a safety net. Just as encouraging competition on the internet will supposedly lower prices for everyone. The abbeys, that is, the managers of church landowning property who were physiocrats, who defended this policy, which benefited the largest landowners and growers of wheat, claimed that needs were not rights, that the liberty granted by the right to own property superseded the people's survival, and that feeding people in times of bad harvests or regulating the price of their staple products so they could afford daily bread meant property owners' rights were subordinate to people's needs. And in the end, as with the current Republican tax bill, what was good for the leading classes was what was good for France. One physiocrat, Lemercier, whose wealth came from being a slave owner on French plantations, argued that no particular class should be favored, meaning that the small landowning class should have equal rights and consideration with the vast majority of poor. The minister Turgot claimed the poor peasant was indifferent to life and more interested in the price of a cow than in their own wife and son, neglecting to point out that the cow may well be the only thing that stood in the way of starvation for the peasant, his wife, and his son. The policies were an utter disaster, as no doubt net reform will be, prompting riots both in the cities and the countryside and reducing the poorest peasants to begging, to unemployment and criminality, culminating in a slaughter of rioters in 1770 as at the supposed joyful celebration of the marriage of Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, who later was in favor of letting her countrymen eat cake, but here opposed them eating bread. The response of the physiocrats was that these reforms, as the overthrowing of net neutrality is being described, failed not because they resulted in hoarding to raise prices and monopoly price fixing and an exportation of wheat which deprived locals of the crop they helped grow, but that the reforms failed because they did not go far enough and were ill-administered, that the state was to blame, not the free market doctrine. And, of course, that will be the response when prices start skyrocketing with the net neutrality reform. The last word, though, in both debates, belongs to two actually enlightened members of the Enlightenment. Denis Diderot, publisher of the Encyclopedia, was the first in this circle to recognize the people's right to existence, the real breakthrough in the Enlightenment. Diderot reputed the physiocrats' idea that their economic laws substituted abstract principles for any consideration of what the results of the imposition of these principles looked like. It was the Swiss banker Jacques Necker, though, who finally took the people's own thoughts seriously, countering Turgot by arguing that the people see wheat as a sacred right delivered from nature, akin to the air they breathe. In the symbolic economy, free access to the internet is equally that kind of sacred right. Finally, Necker said, these claims to the divine right of free competition, organized around who controls the market and the grain supply, as the new internet pricing will be organized by those who control access to the American home, were nothing more than the momentary conquest of one class of society over the future of another. That is, under the principle of property, justice, and liberty, there is nothing left for the most numerous class of citizens. Necker knew a thing or two, not only about French bread, but also about where the overthrowing of net neutrality will lead. This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, Breaking Glass. Oh, change of mind,
simple breaking glass. Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes, jazzistiques et artistiques, à notre écoute.